We have Councilmember George League and Nancy Johnson. If you guys would stand and say hello. Great, thank you. And then we have Christine Johnson. She's walking and waving. And then we have Noah Smuckler. All right, thank you. Thanks again for coming. And tonight's going to be, you know, very interesting and informative. I'm going to turn it over to our city manager. She's going to take it from here with Rob Livick. And we welcome your participation. Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie. Good evening. Great to have you here tonight. I'm Andrea. I'm your city manager. I'm going to do a couple of quick introductions of staff, and then we'll jump right into it. We'll talk to you a little bit about what we're going to do tonight your input as well. First, we have Rob Livick. He's our public services director. He's going to be the main feature this evening, giving you most of the information. We'll try to mix it up a little bit so you don't get lulled by his calming voice. We have Rob Livick, Rob Schultz, our city attorney. Bruce Keough, who's the plant manager, the wastewater treatment plant manager, and Rick Sauerwine, who is our capital projects manager. A couple of things this evening, just to remind you, we're taped tonight, and we haven't been taped. Our last study session was not taped and televised, but tonight is. So the microphones on your table are live. So we ask that when you have something to say, you grab a microphone and you speak one at a time, and maybe just give it a couple of seconds before you start speaking so the AGP can make sure that they get who's speaking. If you raise your hand, this is an informal setting, I should say. It's a study session. It's an informal setting. We take questions at any time. Just raise your hand and we'll try to call on you. We like that informal setting because it makes it a really good way to share information. So, again, speak clearly one at a time and make sure to pass the microphone to the next person. And they are all on, so we will go ahead and do that. Rob, you want to switch to the meeting goals really quickly?
Okay, we made it through the introduction so far.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Ah. There we go. Oh, we've seen that one. So these are our goals tonight, and I'm not going to read them all to you because I know that when you have PowerPoints, people don't appreciate people reading them to you, but that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to try to get through this information, this educational information tonight, in about 2 hours. We noticed at our Harbor Lease meeting, at about 2 hours and 10 minutes, we had people shifting and getting up and ready to go. So we're hoping to share this information to you in about 2 hours. But if you are interested in staying longer, we will stay till the end so all the questions and all the information is provided. We're definitely here to make sure that goes through. I think before we start tonight, I want to spend 5 minutes getting people to participate and what their hope is for tonight's meeting. So a little bit, you know, a little bit touchy-feely, but just what is your hope for tonight's meeting? And I think what I'm going to do is put this microphone out there, and if you have something, I'm going to record these hopes. So anything is fair game, and I hope we get a few people to participate in this little exercise before we get started.
I also want to point out that we've created a new portal on our website. It's for this new project. If you look at the left-hand link, the wastewater treatment plant upgrade project has gone away, and it's been replaced by the new water reclamation facility. We didn't delete all that old information. There's still a link to it on that site, but we started afresh. And if we go back to go back to my beginning slide. I really like this picture because it really is a new wave of what we're thinking about this project, and I'm hoping for a groundswell of community support that creates that new wave. So, we're on to your meeting goals. What is your expectation from this meeting here? And if we get maybe one at a time, two. There's a mic right in front of you, Gary.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was the question.
What are your goals from this meeting?
Okay, my goals are to give my input and start going to more of these meetings. I don't know if you can hear me on this thing. And try to help you guys figure out where to put this thing. I know you've been doing this for a long time. I'm really not sure. I'm going to probably talk a little more in the meeting. We're all just here to try to figure out the best possible site. I hope everybody stays for the 2 hours. And I'm not sure really what this is about yet, so I just want to keep listening and try to put my input on what to do. But everybody should put their input, and that's all I have to say right now. So I guess this microphone's on.
My goal is to, well, I'm a cheap person, and I've always done things cheaply, and that wasn't always the best. So I hope that they will do this job good, get all the best newest equipment or whatever, do a real good job, because whether all of us are going to be paying for forever for this, whether we pay so many dollars or a little more, do a good job, get all the newest and best so we don't have to redo it when the grandkids and the great grandkids comes around.
Also, if you could state your name when you're
speaking. Oh, my name is Rigmore.
Red doesn't work. Black works.
I kind of like red, but all right.
Rob, can you read those since you have the mic?
Yes.
Good input and help with the site and a best project for the best cost.
Chuck Stoll, live here in Morro Bay, of course, and this could be a very frustrating and anxious process because we've spent a lot of money and a lot of time on this thus far. I would specifically like to know the pros and cons about Site 12, and I'd like to know approximately what it's going to cost to do this. And I hope that we don't have to spend another fortune on a consultant in order to find out what Site 12 is going to provide for us, because that looks like a very exciting site.
Monica Bischoff, my goal may be a little ambitious, but I'd love us to come to a consensus on a site tonight, but I think that's probably not going to happen. But I would just like us to at least narrow it down to one of the best possibilities.
I'm Bill Martini. I'd also, again, I think like everyone else, you want to get the most bang for your buck. I think we all want to get a recycling facility. One of my goals is to kind of partner up with the ag community since we're kind of interlocked and see if there's some trade-offs. The Morro Basin is overdrafted as it is, and I've always been speaking how the Morro Bay wells have secondary rights to that basin, so I think it's important that we do something that's a win-win situation. And there is technology out there that doesn't have to be expensive but does the job. And also I think tonight probably the most important thing is site location, like we all say. And there are several other sites I notice on here that haven't been placed on here. So I think during the discussion I hope to possibly come up with even additional sites that might be serve the purpose of a potential location for the wastewater treatment plant. Or I should say the recycling plant. So, thank you.
Anybody else?
Is this turned on?
Yep. I'm Don Boltman. I'd like to learn more about the various treatment options. I've been on the internet quite a lot lately, and it's hard to find what kinds of options we have, and probably our consultants will help us with that. Thank you.
So thank you for that. I think that We'll get through some of these tonight, and at the end we'll talk a little bit about the need for a second study session and further information. So I think with that, we'll turn it over to Rob Leivick for presentation.
Thank you, Andrea. I may have to actually sit down to make this really work. I just wanted to go back over what we thought.
You want to use one of those?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there you go.
I just wanted to go over what we thought the goals might be for this meeting is to review the request for proposal that we had out on the street and we're going to be interviewing consultants for to look at this preliminary phase, look at the draft schedule that we've prepared, review the site selection criteria and potential sites, and then review the success factors that Council adopted back in 2010 as what they viewed at that time was a successful project. So we'll get started with the draft project schedule. And this draft project schedule has a few areas that we need to look at. We're in the preliminary phase of this new project. And we're estimating that that will take 1 year to complete. Then we move on to facilities master planning, environmental review and financing, and permitting, financing, and designing construction. I just want to point out that these are not a serial listing of projects, so they don't happen sequentially, one right after the other. There's many concurrent tasks that will take place. We're thinking that this project is going to be, at least in this phase of schedule estimating, somewhere between 5 and 10 years. And we'll refine that schedule as we get to it. But we're going to try to work as quickly as possible and as cost-effectively as possible.
If you all turn the map over on the back, you can see the project schedule.
Some of the preliminary activities that what we're going to be looking at is determining the goals and objectives for this new water reclamation facility, including the treatment technology, disposal methods, reclamation, biosolids, looking at what a new site might be for this project, a decision on the project. We're hoping by the end of this year, we will have a project selected. So we'll have a site and a treatment technology. And then selection of a project manager that will bring the project, the new water reclamation facility, forward to completion. Facilities master planning has a few components to it, including looking at the site acquisition. We'll need to get some property. We'll need to lay out and size the facilities, preparing cost estimates, both capital and life cycle costs for the project, and we'll start our rate analysis also. Environmental review. It's really location dependent. It could be in the city, could be in the county area. We will be looking at these phases and covering both CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, and NEPA, the federal equivalent of that, so that we set ourselves up for maximizing loans and granting ability. And that consists of an initial study. There will be some specialty studies depending on where the plant is. If it's near a waterway, there will have to be analysis on the impacts of that waterway. There will be transportation studies that need to be formed and such like that. We'll be preparing an environmental document. If you remember the last project, we had an EIR for the project. I suspect that we'll probably have another EIR for this project. And that involves a lot of public review. And not just because it's required but under CEQA. It's good to get that public review as early as possible. We could be looking at annexation if the property is in close proximity to the city. And adjacent to our boundaries, we may want to annex that property in and bring it into the city. Undoubtedly, we'll still be in the coastal zone, so we'll have some form of coastal permitting and then use permitting. So whether it be a use permit with the city or county, we'll still need to go through that permitting process. Okay. And I keep doing that. We'll have to look at how to pay for this new plant, and we'll have to come up with a financing plan. Whether it's going to be a phased project or we're going to build this thing out entirely. We'll be looking at grant opportunities and for various project elements. For example, we might pursue a CDP, California Department of Public Health grant for the recycled water portion of the project. Of course, we'll be investigating state revolving fund loans for the construction of the treatment plant itself. And in order to apply for the state revolving fund loans, that is one of the there are some sequential tasks in this project. You need to be complete with your environmental review and permitting before you can make that final application. And we'll need to look at rates. We did a preliminary rate assessment back a few years ago and set up a escalating rate structure. But that was based on the project at the current site. So we'll need to reevaluate those costs, costs to maintain that existing plant until this new plant is on board, improvements to our collection system, roll that all together, and perform that rate analysis. Any rate adjustments are subject to a Prop 218 vote, so they need to be approved by a majority of the ratepayers. And it, like Andrea said, I may be speaking a little fast, but go ahead and stop me at any time. Just yell out and say.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, Steve.
My name is Steve Shively. The question I have is it necessary to annex into the city? Does the district boundaries follow the city boundaries, or could you just annex them into the district without bringing them into the city itself?
Currently, the wastewater treatment plant serves two separate agencies, the Cayuga Sanitary District and the City of Morro Bay. So there is no district for the both combined agencies. So it would either be in their service boundary or the City of Morro Bay's.
Yeah, you were talking to annexing them into the city, this site, but I'm saying there's a district boundary mimic the city boundary.
There is no district per se.
I was looking at this map where it shows
the sanitary district boundary ends north of the city limits. So there are two separate and distinct agencies.
No, I follow that. What I'm asking is, does the city boundary follow the Morro Bay's district boundary, or do they vary in certain areas, like around the Morro Bay State Park and areas like that?
The district boundary for the sewer service area and the city limits are coincident.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
They're at the same location.
Gotcha.
There's no requirement that we annex this property into the city. We could permit it, operate it in the county area. There are disadvantages and advantages of both cases.
Has LAFCO been approached about whether they would have problems with any of these sites, I guess, is my next question.
No, not at this point.
Oh, okay, thank you.
And there's no rational procedure. There's no legal requirement to annex it in. Typically, with an annex in, you go from where your current boundary ends and annex all the way to that area.
Right.
But as a public facility, you can just create that public lot.
Right.
You can just create that.
You can just create that public lot and have it sit outside it.
Right.
And we've actually
an outside users agreement.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yes.
Okay, with the county. Thank you.
Thank you. One of the other major components is design and construction, and there may be two separate components. So we'll be looking at selection of a design engineer, getting that design engineer on board, and getting to, say, 30% design. That might be a decision point where we would go with either conventional design bid build or design build project. Moving on to construction. Probably take about 14 months or so to build the treatment plant. Then we've got to start it up, make sure it's working, and project completion. That would include decommissioning and demolition of the existing site and basically restoring that to a whatever the community feels that its ultimate use is going to be, whether it stays in open space, becomes sort of some sort of recreational facility, is developed as a visitor-serving commercial site, and those things, decisions will need to be made. Here's the unreadable power. I needed to include a slide in here that you could not actually see. Every PowerPoint presentation has one, so I felt obligated to put one up there. That's why you'll see on the back of your map there is a draft project schedule, and it is really draft at this point in time. We're trying to work our way through this, tried to capture all the major components and see where that put us out in time to complete this project.
Rob, if you could talk a little bit about the current RFP.
Thank you, Councilman Smuckler. You must have read my mind. currently, we had a request RFP or request for proposal out to look at this preliminary these preliminary phase of this project, and we've received four proposals, and we'll be on Thursday of this week, a selection committee made up of five citizens, three staff members, and two city council people will be interviewing those three consultant teams and selecting the consultant that will bring us forward. And I think most of the consultant teams might be in the audience, so that's a good thing. They're seeing what is going on in Morro Bay. This phase of the project is, you know, basically we're going to select a project planning consultant. This group or this person is going to guide the community through a series of decisions that need to be made for the siting of this reclamation facilities and choosing what features that we want to move forward with this project. It'll assist the council in making decisions, and I think this kind of captures it, the what, where, and whys of this project before jumping in and working on the details. This is really an opportunity that we have. If you can view it as that, that's the way I've begun to view this project, because it is an opportunity to rethink some of the things that were chiseled in stone with the former project and make sure that we're going down that right path before we go down it. There'll be we'll be looking to resolve a variety of issues, looking at, you know, what kind of treatment technology, disposal, type of disposal options, level of water reclamation, biosolids or sludge, solids handling options, what we'll be looking at, where we want to locate this plant, and developing a more refined schedule for pursuing the project. Treatment technology, I'm looking, you know, not to go into great detail on each one of these things, but give kind of an overview and kind of whet the appetite for each of these things. For the new treatment plant, you know, the treatment technology should address energy use, water quality, and the siting requirements. Types of treatment technology might be ponds or lagoons. If you have a large, flat site, it's more suitable for a ponding-type system. Conventional activated sludge, where you put the water, wastewater in a tank and bubble air through it. an oxidation ditch, our previous project, or some folks like to call it the trench plant, because it was a kind of a circular ditch, and the wastewater went around in that circle, and air was introduced into it, and it was treated. All of these are biological treatment methods. Just want to point that out. Or a more higher level of treatment might be some sort of membrane or sequencing batch reactor that might have a smaller footprint and give you a higher effluent quality, but at a cost, too. Pausing to take a breath and then also see if there's any questions out there. Need to look at ownership and operations of a new facility. We'll be looking at, designing a plant. The traditional way to bring one of these projects forwards is you design the plant, you prepare plans and specifications, you put it out to bid, contractors bid on it, they build the plant based on your contract plans and specifications. Design build. There you get to about 30% of design, and you turn that over to a design build firm. You know what types of things that you're looking at. You know what the flows, what the loading is going to be on this plant. But maybe you haven't selected your what type of treatment technology you want. Maybe you have the site area picked out. And then you turn it over to that design build firm, and they would put a bid together that achieves those project goals. So you're giving a performance standard. They're putting a bid together that meets your performance standard. You're not giving them the exact details to build the plant. They're providing that for you. You can go one step further with that and have that company that designs and builds it operate that plant, so it can be made into private operations. And then going all the way to this private-public partnership would be design, build, operate, and finance. They also bring the money to the table along with designing, building it, and operating it. Each of these methods have their advantages and disadvantages. You know, local control over the project, how you want it to specifically look. The more design, build that you go to, and the more goal-oriented rather than specifics, the kind of the less control that you have over what it actually looks like. Must say that the city will have ultimate control. You just may pay more for that if you want specific features. I'm thinking of a design-build project I was involved in at Cal Poly, and the owner wanted certain things that they thought were captured in the project plans, like they wanted a bridge, not a culvert. And the design build firm said, well, you just said we needed to get across this creek. You didn't tell us how you're doing it. And the lowest cost option for us is to put a culvert in. And Cal Poly eventually got a bridge, but it ended up costing them a little more to get what they wanted out of it. That'd be an example of the negotiations that go forward with a design build project. It was very, if you've ever been to Poly Canyon Village, it turned out, I think, a beautiful project and a great design build project. This has been a topic of a great discussion in the community as we're pursuing our last project. You know, what the level of reclamation that we were looking at with this project. And we could look at kind of the conventional inside the city limits type of reclamation. That would be more municipal industrial, using it to supplant the water that, you know, normally comes out of your outside taps, let's say. I don't think we're ready to go to the inside taps, although I do have that up there. Agricultural. Do we want to export this water from the city and provide that water to the regional agricultural community around the city? These are decisions that our community needs to make. Do we want to provide groundwater recharge, which is indirect potable? So we are putting it in the ground, letting some time pass, and then withdrawing it back out of the ground and it goes into our drinking water supply. Or I think, you know, this is probably one of the future things that is coming. I don't think we're, as a society, quite ready for this, direct potable reuse, where you have a pipe that comes out of your wastewater plant and is plumbed directly into, let's say, a RO plant, and that goes right into the municipal supply, and that supplements your supply. It's technologically possible. It's just not legally possible at this point in time. California Department of Public Health does not allow that to happen. Will this supplant some landscape irrigation? For example, Caltrans has landscape irrigation along the freeway. Would we require that they use reclaimed water instead of potable water? The high school, the Del Mar Elementary, would we provide piping for those indirect or for that landscape irrigation for the golf course? And then with all these different uses, there's a different water quality that would be required. You know, some forms of agriculture might not require very much treatment at all. But if you're putting in the ground, hoping to supplement your groundwater supply, it's a high level of treatment that you're treating that water. And then the two different approaches, you know, a phase, build it as your customer base comes online, or build a larger system and market it aggressively and try to get those customers to hook in, or as I've called it, build it and they will come approach. Yes.
Hold on
for the mic. Sorry.
How many, Don Boltman, Morbay, how many levels of reclamation treatment are there? Is there like 3 or 10, or is that a wild question?
I think there's, now you're testing my memory. Just a second. Bruce has this answer off the top of his head.
I'm not sure the exact number, but it can range anywhere from full secondary treatment. I think you can even use undisinfected secondary for some sources. And then you kind of ratchet it up all the way to tertiary treatment and a little bit of coagulation. So it kind of varies depending on the use, as Rob pointed out. But the laws are very clearly delineated by the California Department of Public Health.
All right. Thanks.
Can I ask one more question, Rob?
Yes,
please. Is there any reason, or going backwards, if you choose to on your last slide, you showed the different methods of reclamation. I'm going to venture to guess the groundwater recharge is probably the least expensive way to reclaim the water. If the soil types work at where you recharge, infrastructure in place at this time,
no,
in this
there
town
is no
for gray water.
There's no purple pipe
right.
In the ground as of yet.
Okay, thank you.
Kind of coupled with reclaimed water, there's, you know, what do you do with the... We're not going to probably reclaim 100% of our water, depending on which method. We have an existing ocean outfall that is a resource that we will need for a bunch of different reasons that we'll touch on here. So we'll need to make probably full or partial use of that. Do we want to have a creek discharge for the wastewater plant to supplement creek flows, a groundwater discharge to supplement groundwater, surface disposal? If you're driving on Highway 41, there's a little tiny package wastewater treatment plant at Rancho Colina Mobile Home Park that uses spray field irrigation. So as it discharges, it's surface irrigating some... I'm not sure if it's pasture land or just some fallow field area. We have to look at the difference between what our average dry weather flow is, and I may have gotten these numbers a little bit wrong, but they're close. Average dry weather flow For both communities is about 1.5 million gallons per day. Yeah, at build out, yes. And then our peak wet weather flow is 8.1 MGD. So peak wet weather flows, it's raining like cats and dogs, there's water, there's high groundwater, it's seeping into the sewer through the, no sewer is 100% watertight, so there's little cracks that it gets in. There's also manholes that it gets, pick holes that it gets in through, so you get that INI or infiltration and inflow and infiltration. So you have to accommodate both of those and kind of a continuum in between with whatever disposal method that you choose. And it doesn't have to be one of these either. You could pick creek discharge or groundwater recharge and still keep your ocean outfall for some of those peak. If you're needing to do advanced treatment with some sort of reverse osmosis system, you're going to have a brine left over that you're going to need to dispose of. That might be a good use of that ocean outfall. And I think it's an advantage as we're looking at salt and nutrient loading on a watershed basis. I believe our regional board sees our ocean outfall as a resource for the watershed in maintaining that salt and nutrient base balance. Bruce's favorite subject, near and dear to him. I think Noah likes this one too. Biosolids options. So that's the solid residuals that are left over after you treat the wastewater. Everything has been eaten, and this is what the residue that the bugs have left us with. Currently, the solids are settled out through the treatment process, and they go into anaerobic digestion, which further stabilizes those solids, and then into sludge drying beds. And up until about a year ago, we had a small on-site composting program where we would mix those biosolids with green waste, compost it, and make that compost available to the community. In preparation for the new project, we suspended that composting operation. We're drying biosolids now on site and trucking, having those trucked off to a regional composting facility. So we'll need to evaluate composting on site and hauling to a regional facility. We'll need to evaluate how we're stabilizing those solids through the treatment process. For example, with the project that was proposed on the current site with the oxidation ditches, you didn't have anaerobic digestion of the solids. The solids stayed in the ditch until it was time to waste those solids out. They were fairly stable, but they weren't suitable for anaerobic digestion. So you would dewater them through some sort of squeezing the water out of it, either through a centrifuge or a belt press or a screw press. Squeeze as much water that you could get a engine, and then turn a generator with that to recover some energy.
Well, could you talk just a little bit about treatment technology in the production of biosolids?
So treatment technology with the production of biosolids, I touched on it a little bit. You know, there's oxidation ditch solids going to a press process, trucked off-site, anaerobic digested solids, more stable, not as much odor. Some people say it smells like money to them. I work with a lot of treatment plant operators and have them in the family, so we talk about this a lot. Those solids become fairly stable, less odor, and more easily handled on site. You could aerobically digest sludge, and That's very energy intensive. You're running blowers to blow air through the sludge, but you don't end up with a very good product, from what I understand, to compost. It's more like your oxidation ditch sludge. There's sludge lagoons. Back in the day, worked on projects where you'd build a big lagoon and pump your sludge into it and let it sit for years and years at a time and let it stabilize itself. Usually those plants are far away from people. They have an odor to them, and it doesn't smell like money.
That's different.
Yeah. That would be different than a treatment lagoon. If we had kind of unlimited flat land area where you would discharge the wastewater to, you would either let the sun do its work on the pond, and there'd be plant growth in the ponds that would biologically treat the wastewater. Solids would settle to the bottom. Very large ponds have very long sludge holding times. Years and years the sludge stays in those ponds. Not that you never have to deal with it, but it's a long, long time. Those types of plants require a lot of land area. And yes, Ms. Martin.
Yeah, Bill Martini. One of my questions earlier in what you're talking about, the technology now, is as far as Morro Bay Cayucas, the 1.5 million per day average, what size of area would that type of ponding require as far as acreage? Would you have any rough ballpark?
I haven't even looked at that. I'm trying to think of one of the pond projects that I worked on. Last one was Templeton Community Services District. They have five ponds, but that's after some primary treatment they do at their treatment plant site. That probably takes up 4 or 5 acres, 6 acres. Their ponds are more for disposal. San Miguel Community Services District, very small flows, probably on the order of maybe a tenth of our flow, and it's a couple of acres. So we're probably, I mean, this is just a guess. Maybe 20 acres might get us there.
Okay, because I know like Arcata and Santee, I didn't know if there's any math that you could kind of use those two on their flows and what their ponding requirements are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll repeat that again. I know Santee has the ponding, and I think also Arcata, and I didn't know if you could use kind of rough math on, you know, what their ponding size is compared to their population, if that would be a good rough mark.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We would look at those estimates, and that's how you do at this preliminary stage.
Right.
How would you estimate the size area?
But approximately 20 acres plus or minus.
That's just a guess off the top of my head.
Great. Thank you. Absolutely.
We have a question down here. Linda?
Good evening, Linda Merrill. I was wondering, could this energy we're maybe producing be used like to heat our new swimming pool facility?
In theory, I think there's treatment plants that actually do that. Use their digester gas to heat swimming pools. They just need to be in close proximity to each other. And I think the swimming pool is going to be at Morro Elementary is the current proposal. I'm not sure that we want our treatment open bottom, but their treatment facilities are sealed.
How, an idea, an individual pond, how large would it be? I'm thinking the Morro Valley is stepped, you know. Could there be ponds, but not all level, just gradually coming downhill?
The size is really is fairly flexible. You don't want to get them too small to be treating too small of a quantity of wastewater, nor do you want them too large either, because they're hard to maintain circulation through there. So I think it's variable. When we look at the specific sites and if they are suitable for ponds, we would look at sizing the ponds so they fit the site. No, the entire site may not. You would have to have a flat area for the pond, but the entire site might not have to be flat. No,
I've heard rumors recently that the city of San Luis Obispo started a facultative pond pilot project working with Cal Poly. And that might be something for us to look into to get some more details there. But I also wanted to just bring up the point that I'm reading about more communities that are doing some form of energy generation from their plants, but also building in energy generation systems like solar or wind to complement the plants and to help power the plants. And that may be something to consider as we go forward.
That is a new initiative by the Water Environment Federation, our kind of trade organization in the wastewater field, is really looking at kind of the goal would be a zero energy plant. I don't know that we can ever get there, but the goal for WEF is to, you know, push forward this initiative to generate, be as self-sufficient as possible in the treatment of water and wastewater. And that may be a goal that this community wants to look at too. The scheduling that during this preliminary phase, we'll need to update the schedule and address some of the things that we've already talked about here, the siting, the permitting, design, and construction and startup. If there's no more questions on what we're kind of expecting from our consultant friends in the audience, we're going to move on to looking at what we did about almost 2 years ago now with the rough screenings analysis for that the DUDEC group put together for us, and some of the criteria that was used, and looking at some of the sites that they looked at, and looking at why they were the advantages and disadvantages in a kind of a general case. You know, the siting criteria. What is important to the community in the siting of the new wastewater treatment plant or water reclamation facility? Sorry, just having a hard time remembering when I'm talking about the old project versus the new project. The new water reclamation facility, will it be to, maybe in my mind, I would want to showcase it. I would want something that people would want to come visit. I wouldn't want to hide it completely and have it completely out of sight, out of mind. I would want to have this is just me personally, a water resources information center at the plant so that you could do community education about water because it's so vital to our life. But there are other goals, you know. The community and the larger community of California through its Coastal Commission decided that they really don't want the new treatment plant or the new water reclamation facility at its existing location in proximity to the coast because of a variety of reasons, including, you know, coastal hazards and public access, among two of them. So we're going to review some of the aspects of the DUDEC's rough screening analysis that was prepared in September 2011 and that was revised in November after public meetings and presentations with the JPA. Kind of the first step when they were looking at screening sites, they were looking at what are the fatal flaws of various conditions that would cause you not to want to construct a project? We have to decide whether we want to have, are these the same fatal flaws that we'll be addressing, or will we have smaller subset, add more to it, or better refine what these fatal flaws are. And in the determination, there was something that interfered with, that caused a project that couldn't be built, or there was some unmitigable impact to the environment, environmentally sensitive resource areas. So there was something that you couldn't fix through construction that with building a treatment plant there that had an impact on the environment. And some projects, maybe not wastewater projects, traffic could be an unmitigable impact. And it's not to say that you couldn't build a project that has an unmitigable effect. That the governing body would have to adopt a statement of overriding consideration. So they would have to say the project is so important that we are going to mitigate this effect as much as possible, but there's no way not to, have some impact. So just because it's unmitigable does not specifically cause a project to be kill a project. But that was one of the approaches that was in the previous study. During this, the screenings analysis that DUDEC prepared for us, they looked at the environmental considerations. They reviewed our local coastal program policies and made sure that the sites were in compliance with that. They're in our interpretation of the LCP policies. There are logistical and site constraints. I don't think there were any sites that were vertical, but that would be a site constraint that you wouldn't want to build a treatment plant on. Engineering economic constraints. Is it so far away that the pumping and construction of a pipeline cost was just made the project unaffordable? So those were the screening criteria. And none of these different criteria are fatal flaws in a project. They're just weighed either positively or negatively against a project, and that's how they rated the sites. Some of the things that looked at in environmental and the LCP issues, ESHA, bioresources, water quality, you can see the list, floodplain, coastal hazards, public access and recreation. We saw those in our denial letter from Coastal with our current project, that some of those in the view of the state of California that we did not meet.
Jim Pauley, Morro Bay.
Yeah, that worked.
With regards to these conservancy agreements that are held, to keep the properties rural and so on, my understanding is that the Rigetti property has one. And when I bought the property next to it, it was indicated that it'd be about 20 or 30 years before anybody would be able to develop it. And I was wondering if you have condemnation rights or if that's the case.
My understanding is the Rigetti property is not within the Williamson Act, so that there are none of those restrictions on that site. So, but that might be a consideration on another piece of property. We would have to investigate that. But it's my understanding, and through our looking at the property, that it is not under Williams Act based on what the county folks have told us. The list continues on different areas that we need to look at and rate as we look at different projects. The last one down there, energy consumption and greenhouse gas, I think will become particularly important as we move forward and are adopting our local community action plan and how we're going to address the city energy needs and maintain our that's going to be, you know, difficult when you're building, you know, big motors and blowers and maintaining the rest of the community might need to make that up. So generating your own energy on site becomes even more important. Some of the logistical and site constraints are, you know, the land use and zoning designations. Not that these prohibit anything, but they need to be addressed. Does the project fit the box, or do you need to change what the box looks like? I'll use the example of our existing site. It's on a piece of property zoned M1. And our original opinions was that M1 was a suitable land use designation for the treatment plant. In the Coastal Commission's denial, they didn't feel that the M1 designation was suitable for a treatment plant since we had a M2 designation that was specifically addressed wastewater treatment plant. So that is something that we'll have to deal with wherever the site is going to move to, because of all the sites we looked at, I don't think there's any of them, with the exception of the CMC site maybe, that is set up to take a wastewater treatment plant. It may be ag, it may be some other zoning, but like I said, those aren't brick walls that will stop a project. There's something that will have to be addressed, and you know, the earlier we address them and deal with them, and I think the better for the project. Time that it will take to implement it. Right now, we have a cease and desist order, time schedule order with the regional board that we needed to have a wastewater treatment plant up and running by March of next year. Well, that's not going to happen. So we're going to be working with our regional board in setting up a new time schedule order or cease and desist order that gives us a realistic time frame to build a new treatment plant. But they will not give us unlimited time to do that. They won't just say, go away, do your own thing, and tell us when you're done. And if it takes 50 years, that's fine. And I don't think the community would stand for 50 years anyway. But we'll be set to a specific schedule that we'll need to meet. The maximum amount of time they can give you on that initial permit is 5 years. They're talking about what they can do beyond that five-year term, and they may be able to administratively extend that 5 years, but they can only do that once. So time is not unlimited. We need to work on this deliberatively, but we don't need to waste any time either. And then site cleanup. If we were to put it on a semi-cleaned industrial site, we may need to clean the site up before we move forward, depending on how the purchase agreement works. And then not all land is flat and suitable for building tanks and ponds on, so there will be some grading involved on wherever we construct a wastewater treatment plant. Yes, sir.
This draft schedule here that you've given us, which goes 2 years beyond the five, that is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So you've basically already determined it's going to go beyond the 5 years.
That's an initial draft of a schedule that'll be refined. I was fairly optimistic with that schedule, given all the tasks that we're going to need to perform. And like I said, we'll work closely with the regional board. Initial 5 year, they want to work with us to get a treatment plant permitted as quickly as possible. And like I said, they can administratively extend those permits, but not forever. These are the sites you can see on the map that we've previously looked at. There's 17 locations up there. I don't think there's any need to address the first one that is now red and it's kind of crossed off the list. That's the existing site location. So initially, we'll have these 16 sites to refine, maybe add to as we move forward and look at for our future water reclamation facility. Oh, Don.
Rob, just to talk a little bit about that 5 years, our permit is up in 2014, right? So that it's five years after 2014.
Yes.
Which helps a little bit with the schedule.
Can I have a question? When I look at Site 16 versus...
For about 17 years as well. And the spot that I surf the most is at the pit right in front of the high school, right in front of the poop plant. And, you know, that outfall is about a quarter mile off the beach, and all the wind and current pushes all that right back into the beach. And so wherever the new site does go, my main concern is that the water is reclaimed. I've been getting sinus infections regularly, almost every time I go surfing at the pit lately, and it tends to migrate down into my lungs and turn into an upper respiratory infection. And I can just feel it in my sinuses that the water is really dirty out here in front of the pit. And it's not the same in Cayucas. And I have also fished the reef out near the outfall, and it's good hard bottom, and the fishing just sucks there. My gear comes up all like mucky. It's kind of like seems typical to me of what you'd see with lots of nitrates in the water, too much algae activity, and it just kind of suffocates out the life. So the point being is the water reclamation is imperative because it would also be beneficial to use on crops and whatnot because the plants like the nitrates. If anybody's familiar with the concept of aquaponics, they basically do aquaculture with fish and they use all the poop contaminated water from the fish and they feed the plants with it and the plants love it. And then the plants actually filter out the water and then it's pumped back to the fish and it's clean again. So that's... I just wanted to voice that. I think it's really important that we have a focus that we are going to have a goal to reclaim the water wherever the new plant does go. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I think there's a bunch of copies of... this is my other unreadable slide in the presentation. So on the other side of the schedule, it's a little bit more readable. But... when we're looking at sites, we're looking at generally close proximity to Morro Bay Cayucas area. I think the furthest outlying sites were the, I don't know what number that is, 12, I think, down at the bottom right-hand corner. That's the CMC location. And then the upper left-hand corner is the site that's below the Whale Rock Reservoir Dam. That was a vacant piece of property that was suggested as a potential location as a treatment plant site. So that's kind of the suite of sites that we've looked at in the past. Barry.
Yes, you pointed out site 12 was the CMC location, but that's really inaccurate. Site 12, as you have on the map or was presented to us by Dudek, is actually the old airport site. And that Site 12 did not include the CMC plant. So in their fatal flaw, then they left out the benefits of the CMC plant. So when you talk about Site 12, we're really talking about a different location than Site 12.
That's good to note. I think the original concept was to build a city CSD plant there adjacent to their treatment plant and not co-locate on their site and use their plant facilities either as existed or expanded to treat the wastewater. Bill.
Yeah, Bill Martini again. Yeah, since we're talking about sites, I thought I'd point out a couple. Number one, number two is actually three legal parcels there. The center parcel is Las, you know, the Flores retirement home. Number two actually consists of two parcels, two separate owners. I believe there's a five-acre parcel and maybe a 25-acre parcel, just to point out, and they're both quite usable sites. What actually isn't on here is the Tri-W property, and I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention. It's actually in two parcels. There's a parcel of about 157 acres. It's inside the city limits. I think there's about 17 acres of it is zoned commercial. The rest is agricultural. Would work very well. There's also a 400-acre site right behind the retirement home. Has a big hidden valley on it that would work well for the ponding that you talked about. And both of those are currently available. They're for sale. So I just thought I'd mention those. And then thirdly, on Little Morrow Creek Road, there's a current parcel for sale. It's about a six-acre site if you're looking at a different technology for, I think, $450,000. But there's a series of about a half a dozen. These are out of the prime ag. They're up on the hillside, so it wouldn't be considered prime ag, I believe, more grazing land. And so those are additional sites that could be also considered. Thank you.
Thank you. And we will... The work that was developed by DUDAC, the sites that were eliminated through the fatal flaws analysis are listed up here, and the reasons why that they were eliminated. And I included the not just the name, but the number, so you can refer to your key on the map to see where those sites are located. And then, as a result of the study, we have another. As a result of the study, we came up with the final list of sites that were went on to the final fine screening analysis, and they included the current site, the Chevron oil facility on Toro Creek, the Rigetti property, and then there were some runners up, but they were due to high energy costs and piping costs were thrown out, and as it was pointed out, the CMC wastewater facility is kind of a misnomer. It was really building a new facility at CMC, not piping to their existing site. And there's a few others there.
Question. Understand what you're going over what was done before, but I would suggest that nobody take those for granted or the conclusions that were come to by the previous group on that, that these sites should be fully evaluated again so that, because I think there's a different attitude in the way these sites were looked at before.
Definitely. And the goal of this section of this, this was to point out what we did in the past and to look at least getting an initial take on, you know, things that we want to change. And it was good to hear you, Jim, to say that, you know, the community is interested in taking a relook. I akin to we're going to change the filter screen that we're going to use to sift through these sites. So instead of a 20-gauge screen, we're going to use an eighth-inch screen to see which sites filter through the mesh and which ones are the ones that are going to be evaluated in the future. So we're, you know, there's probably a discrete list of types of locations and numbers of locations, but what we need to do is put that new filter on those locations. For example, if one of these sites on here showed up as the best site in the world, and it met all our needs, but we just could not negotiate with the property owner. I would venture to guess that in near proximity, you could find a piece of land nearby that offered some of those same features and that you might want to look at if you couldn't negotiate with that property owner.
Yeah, I think that Tri-W property would be offers a lot of options. My name is I'm Bob Keller. It's a large piece of property and has a lot of possibilities. So I'm with Bill on this too, the Tri-W property.
Thank you.
Is that visible from the highway, the Tri-W?
It's a Tri-W property.
Sounds a lot like Los Osos Tri-W, or what they call it.
Some portions, I would venture to guess, I can see that hillside there, and most of the property is visible from the highway. I don't know what the extent of the property holdings are as you go away from the highway are. So,
It's a very large, I think Bill said 400 acres. There's about... 600. There is part of it is zoned that's within the city is zoned commercial, and that area is visible just when you're coming off the freeway there.
May of 2010, and each one of these factors for success had several subparts to it. It was getting kind of long, so I didn't go into the complete detail, but I think by capturing the major headings, you kind of see where what the council was looking at back in 2010 with the project. And, you know, the concerns were cost, making sure that it was neighborhood friendly, that it fit with the environment, that it included water reclamation as part of it, dealt with biosolids, addressed coastal hazards, anticipated the needs of both communities and the build-out of both communities, and satisfied the conditions of the Coastal Commission. As we reflect back on our past project, we probably weren't very successful in capturing these factors for success. And so as we move forward, we'll be bringing these factors for success back to the community and making sure that these are still the community's goals in constructing a new water reclamation facility.
Real quick, as far as the study goes and the cost for the study, is the Cayucas District sharing in that cost, or are we doing it unilaterally?
This is, at this phase, this preliminary phase, it's a City of Morro Bay project only.
Okay, thank you.
The Cayucas Sanitary District has gone, is working on a similar project on their own, looking at some feasibility on their community. And at a future JPA, we'll be getting back together and sharing those experiences and seeing where we go from there. I don't know if President Enns wants to add anything to that, but we're looking forward to getting... I'm putting Robert on the spot, but I saw him in the audience. But we're looking forward into discussing our individual discoveries and seeing if we can find common ground again and working together for a common project.
I'll get back on you later. But yeah, I'm the president of the Sanitary District Board in Cayucas. And as Rob has described, we're both looking at projects individually. At this time, we're hoping that we both come up with one that we like and can share together.
Thank you, Mr. Enns. I appreciate that. So these are our factors for success. And as they were stated back in 2010, I think there are good success factors as we continue forward. But we will look to the community in future meetings to refine those factors too, as needed. So I'm going to jump to the first one first before we open it up to what this group would like to see from future study sessions. And since really this was just an kind of an overview of where we're at so far in the process, we didn't really get to go into great detail on, for example, we didn't pick a site yet in this group. So we'll be looking to future meetings to actually pick that site by the end of the year and move forward with the project. Our next immediate step is City Council will be choosing the consultant team that will lead us through this preliminary phase based on the selection committee's review and interviews that will be happening this Thursday. So we'll be bringing that forward to Council on May 14th for their decision. And with that, I'm going to open it up to the group and just make sure that we capture if there's anything else that is not on this list here that we need to perhaps to either reflect on in future meetings, make sure that we address, that is an imperative item before we can move forward with our new project.
Michael Lucas. I just wanted to say that, you know, the thing that's always struck me is the historic record of the 1.5 million gallons a day, 8.1 wet season. You know, one thing we do have some control over is as the housing stock is replaced gradually over time, the gray water ordinances and things like this, in theory, would reduce evaluations. A lot of the nature of what's valuable for a site is based on the nature of the technology. So if we have a capacity to need a larger site, but it's a porous site, that makes some sites more appropriate for some technologies than others. So it's not just one type of filter. It's actually multiple technology filters that we have to be testing when we look at the sites, because we could... you know, it could be a very expensive, very large site that allows us to use a much less expensive technology over time might be more beneficial. You know, and there could be a proprietary technology that uses far less site, and that could have advantages in other ways as well. So I would hope that we look at the mapping of these various technologies that we're saying are still in play relative to the site selection, as well as one maybe last time testing what that input is to the system.
That it's not just one filter that we're using, it's a series of filters, and eventually that one gem is going to drop out of when you apply all the filters. In regards to the flows, I can see small changes but not huge changes, with the exception of if we were Morobay on itself, we would see a 25% reduction in average dry weather flows, not quite so much in peak wet weather flows. It would be different. So we'll take, you know, all of that in consideration as we move forward. And like President Inn said, you know, we're hoping to answer the question regarding what the combined flow is, or is it a combined flow, sooner rather than later.
Nancy Bass, Morro Bay. How important would it be to know the geologic structure underlying possible sites so that groundwater could be accumulated? I thought that we have a very shallow groundwater basin for storage, and so the geologic composition under all the sites seems like it should be considered.
Yeah, I think we would address that probably on a gross scale based on a literature survey. We're not going to probably take 17 or, if we add more sites, start drilling holes in the ground because that gets... maybe I was too far away. That gets pretty expensive. So we would be addressing it at kind of the literature survey. There's been a lot of data gathered regarding soils and geology in the area. So we can look at that until we better refine the sites down to a smaller selection. And as we did with the last project, then we did the more detailed physical site investigations regarding the bearing capacities of the soil when we had that smaller list. So yes, that is something that's very important that we'll need to look at. Matt.
Rob, looking at the draft set of schedule on the back of the map and knowing that we have this meeting tonight, going forward, knowing that as you start narrowing things down and start making decisions, how many more of these sort of public information meetings that will we have?
I'll give you the pat answer. As many as we need to get through the process and make sure the community is involved. We don't have a defined schedule that we're going to have three meetings and then we're done, or this is it, this is your final say, we're moving forward. No, that's not the case. But we're going to have as many meetings as we need to have and make sure that as many people that can be informed and can be addressed can be. Don.
Jamie?
My understanding of the what the consultant is going to do that we're hiring is reevaluate the existing data that we have. Tonight, I've heard of a couple of new sites that sound real good. Will the consultant be able to evaluate a few new sites?
Once we have selected that consultant, I had, so Mr. Boatman.
I have Don Boatman, Morrill Bay. I've had the same thoughts and same questions. So I got some emails in the last couple of days. Consultants only in the last couple of years, $1.3 million, and that doesn't include the EIR studies for the old plant. And the EIR studies...
was about $340,000. And then the facilities master plan that Corolla paired for us was about $240,000.
So close to $2 million.
So with a new
Do we plan on spending how much more on this consultant issue?
Well, we'll be looking at a new environmental document for whatever the site's looking that we'll be looking at, and that realistically is probably close to what we spent the last time, $350,000. We'll have to write a new facilities master plan because the facilities master plan for the current site would not be applicable to the future site because it's not the same location. We'll be able to use as much as we can out of that, but that's probably another $200,000. We'll have to design a new treatment plant. I think our design contract, even though that we didn't spend it all, was around $2.5 million to design a treatment plant. So we're looking at spending a considerable amount of fees to move this project forward.
And have we answered the questions on the previous page?
Your hopes for the meeting.
So, the best project?
Have we hopes for our study?
I think part of Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Well, actually, my question is about the CMC site. And I'm just wondering, I would expect that probably will have an outfall into Chore Creek. And is it the expectation that that outfall will help address some of the issues in lower Chore Creek with stream flow?
I think that would be the goal of the project, that it would supplement stream flow. The city operates a well field down in the lower Choro Basin, and that would help with the city's water supply. So we would get a double benefit of water in the Choro Valley, a disposal option, and a water supply option. Maybe you could remind me, because I can't recall that.
There was an email that we received regarding the concerns about the future of the household hazardous waste reception facility, and hoping that wherever the plant ends up, that we find a way to continue to host a household hazardous waste recovery center.
Oh, definitely, because that is it's probably the most successful household hazardous waste collection facility in the county, and we want to keep that going for our community here. It also helps us with source control, so making sure that things that don't belong in the sewer don't get into the sewer, that there is a way for people to dispose of those household hazardous waste products without dumping them down their drain. And just making sure that site is available wherever our treatment plant moves to, or finding another location that is in the community for that site.
I just wanted to make one comment. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming out tonight. We really appreciate it. It would have been way cozier to stay home on such a cold and foggy evening. I just wanted to make one comment based on Matt's question about moving forward and how many more study session type meetings. And I would just like to remind us that we do have a Public Works Advisory Board that had so many wonderful applicants this year that we expanded the board to 7 from 5. So just in keeping in mind what Chuck was thinking about with cost, let's just remember that we do have a board that, you know, is dealing with public works items, and that might be someplace where we can do some more information gathering, or at least information sharing from that perspective. So thanks.
Don Boltman again. I like to talk about the money a little bit because we need to keep track of it. The city a few years ago raised the sewer rates, I believe. So do we have a separate fund that we are...
That rate increase was only going to get us to basically... once we had our cost estimates from design, and once we knew what our wastewater treatment plant was going to cost us, and then we were going to look at further rate adjustments. And rate adjustments, quite frankly, is a euphemism for us bureaucrats say rate increases. Because I've never seen, in my paying of sewer bills, them ever really go down.
Don, if I can just add on to that, one of the things that a couple of people alluded to, and when we start adding up those numbers, that's a big number, and it makes you really step back and say, you know, there's been a lot of money spent. And I think one of the things that we're trying to do, certainly at the staff level, with the backing of the city council, is to look what we've done with some of these studies and what can we still use. And there is a lot of material that we're still going to be able to use. We're going to need to tweak it a little bit, and as Rob talked about, put different screens on it. But there's a fair amount of material that we still have that we can use, and it's good for two reasons. It won't be costly to redo it because it won't need to be redone. And we're that much farther in the time schedule. So looking a little bit at the silver lining, yes, there was money spent, but some of those studies are still going to be usable. So I wanted to add that because it is a big number and it makes you step back.
Rob, I had a quick question. One of the things I learned tonight I didn't realize was how high the wet weather flows were in relation to your dry weather flows, and you spoke to the infiltration in the collection system. Are we going, and because of the fact, I heard a lot of people tonight are concerned about the effluent disposal, and I could see if you're going to do mechanical means to try and reclaim 100% of the water, and you're dealing with 8.1 million gallons, you're talking about a pretty large nut to crack. Is there any looking into slip lining the collection pipes or trying to seal the manholes to try and drop the wet weather flows as part of this? Because it seems to me that that's the one part of the plant that's truly going to get hit hard in the wet weather if you're trying to do these kind of reclamation projects for the effluent.
That is our current program. We've broken the city up into 14 or so areas, and we're addressing the problems through each of those areas, and either through slip lining, point spot repairs, and pipe replacement projects, manhole lining, the whole list. Rick, our capital projects and engineering division manager, he's got a whole list of projects that he is trying to move forward and do that very thing. And the goal is to reduce the INI it's always is a permit requirement from the regional board. They don't want us to oversize our plant to treat clean water is the goal.
Is there a law that we have to hire a consultant again? Can't we use the experts, our city staff, and pay you a little bit of overtime, and our city council and the new board that Christine mentioned? Can't they move forward now and start making decisions? Does the state or the national government say we have to hire another consultant?
No, there's no law that says we need to hire a consultant to work on the projects. I'll give you the example of Bruce Kehoe. He operates our wastewater treatment plant. He had a full-time job of operating the wastewater treatment plant and running our collection system before this project came along. I'm not sure how long we would keep him employed here if I said he needed to work another 8 or so hours a day working on the treatment plant. We will use our advisory boards as sounding boards, but we also need to have professional engineers designing a wastewater treatment plant. I am a professional engineer, but I am not, my specialty is not wastewater treatment plant design. I might be able to design a small plant, but I'm not. It's outside my area of expertise to design a treatment plant. I think Andrea wants to say something here, too.
I'll just add a couple of comments, and we appreciate those comments about staff being able. I think one of the things we need to keep in mind is even if this project is the same cost as the last project, which was about $35 million, it's the biggest infrastructure project the city will probably ever likely take on. And it's a huge amount of work. So while I think actually Rob would probably more like to do this project than all the personnel things and all the...
I'm Ed Bischoff. I'm looking at your schedule. It looks like the third quarter of 2014 you're going to be acquiring the final site, so you will be deciding before then. I assume, I'm hoping that, like at the end of 2013, you'll be having like two or three, four sites that might be competing for that, for the city, and would we be able to see, you know, the positives and what it costs and what that site, those sites offer? Will we be able to have a sit-down like this before that?
Oh, most definitely. This, and even before we get to those final three or four sites, I think the goal, council goal, is to actually have a site selected by the end of 2013.
Right.
Then move on to site acquisition. But before we can get to that point, there needs to be, Matt asked, how many community meetings are we going to have? Well, we're definitely going to have more than this one, and specific points that we'll need to address is looking at those as we refine those list of sites down, addressing those sites so that we can look at the pluses and minuses of each of those.
And do you pick the engineering after you pick the site, or do you pick the site after you pick the engineering?
I think we get close to a site or get that final site selected, and then we move on to the facilities master planning, get that engineering design firm that would do the master planning on that site, and before we go to purchase, of course, that site. And we may have a site in our back pocket in case there are something that we missed on that one.
Thank you.
Jim.
Hi, am I on?
Yes.
Well, you know, looking back at the way it went and how the selections were made for the engineering companies and all these consultants, I would hope that this time we would have our city council as a big factor in that, you as the overall engineer, the sewer department, legal. But I tell you what, I thought that was so political the last time. I wasn't thrilled with how the decisions were made, and I'm not sure that I ever really saw it defined who did it. So I only urge you to really give it some thought. It's so important who's going to make the decision. So I hope we have all our experts there. And it's not just a political game. I don't think it will be.
And I just want to point out, the goal is not to have consultants make those important decisions for the community. It's the community through city and city council to make those decisions. They just assist the council in making those decisions. This process that we're going through, selecting this current consultant for this preliminary phase, we have 10 people on the selection committee, three citizens, two city council members, or five citizens, two city council members, and three members of the staff. We had a great discussion last week as we went through the proposals, and I applaud that this process that we're going through. I think we're going to end up with a great, great consultant team out of this, and a great scope of work that will move us forward. I'm an optimist, too. I think we may have not met all of the wants and needs of the meeting. For example, picking the site at this meeting. I think we had a good discussion. We received some good information about moving forward on future meetings and what we'll need to be addressing at those meetings. I think the consultant teams that are here observing this got some good information, and our review committee also received. And I'm hoping that all of you attendees saw this meeting as beneficial. And I know that I enjoyed it. I love talking wastewater treatment plants and planning. With that, unless council or city manager wants to make any final comments.
Just real quickly, just as a reminder, on our website, we just added the water reclamation facility on the left-hand side, so you can tab there and get an email. I think we're in the process of setting that particular Notify Me up in the next couple of days, but that way you will not miss anything, any public hearing, any information. So I encourage you to do that, and that's all I'm going to say. Thanks for coming.
I have one more thing to add. Thanks. I want to echo something Rob had said about our selection committee, and having sat in on that, the depth and knowledge of our selection committee staff and volunteers is extraordinary. So that was pretty enlightening to sit through that. So just wanted to shout out and thank those folks. and thank staff for putting this on. This is a great presentation and study session, and all of you for coming tonight. So just wanted to give a shout out and thanks. So thanks very much.